Afghanistan saw more attacks today. Gunmen killed two members of the Taliban in Jalalabad, that's the eastern state provincial capital, and it follows weekend attacks that an Islamic State affiliate claimed responsibility for. But the Islamic State is not the only Taliban rival seeking influence in the new Afghanistan. Let's talk more now with Kathy Gannon of the Associated Press. She is news director for Pakistan and Afghanistan, and she joins us from Kabul. Kathy, welcome.
Hi, Scott. How are you?
Well, now, first of all, what do we know about the latest string of attacks by the Islamic State?
Yes, that was today in Jalalabad. There were three attacks. One was a gunman opened fire on a Taliban vehicle at a gas station in Jalalabad, which is, as you said, the capital of eastern Afghanistan's Nangarhar province. And then there were two separate explosions, both targeting Taliban vehicles. And in all, there were five killed, three of them Taliban or believed to be Taliban, and two civilians. So this is the latest attack, and the Islamic State has taken responsibility for the previous ones. And the Taliban and the Islamic State are enemies.
Latest in a string of attacks. Americans will remember the attack at the Kabul airport that killed more than 100 Afghans and 13 U.S. service members last month. What is the Islamic State trying to do, and why are they targeting the Taliban?
Sure. Well, you know, actually in the past year or so, the Islamic State has increased its activities. The U.S. had launched quite a severe bombing run against the Islamic State about a year ago. And the Taliban were also attacking them quite ferociously, as was the Afghan government forces. And one of the reasons that the U.S. Was anxious to reach a deal, or was reaching a deal with the Taliban, was that they would then be recruited in the fight against the Islamic State, because the U.S. sees the Islamic State affiliate in Afghanistan their greatest threat and the greatest threat to their allies. So the Taliban have been fighting them. They are presenting, and they probably do present, the greatest challenge to the Taliban government now in power in terms of groups that are opposed to the Taliban.
Have the leaders of the Islamic State stated what their goal is here?
Well, I mean, right from the outset, when they started first emerged in 2014, they've taken the same goal as the Islamic State in Syria, in Iraq, and that is the establishment of a larger caliphate. And the large percentage of the membership of the Islamic State affiliate in Afghanistan would be militants coming from Pakistan, particularly from the tribal area, disgruntled Taliban who are not happy with any kind of a peace deal or peace arrangement, and are much, much more hardline, and as well as Uzbeks from the Islamic movement of Uzbekistan, Iranian Sunni militants. It's quite a mix of militants in the Islamic State affiliate in Afghanistan, and their goal is very similar, as I said, to that of the Islamic State in Syria and in Iraq.
Okay. I imagine the Islamic State is trying to exploit what must be a delicate moment for the Taliban as it takes over a fragile country. Poverty, security issues, rival factions. What are the big picture challenges right now for the Taliban to kind of deliver on the social contract for Afghans?
Sure, and you're absolutely right. There are many challenges. I think the first one for the Taliban has been security, establishing some sort of sense of security among Afghans. And it has to be said that in much of the country, I think many Afghans will say that there is increased security in terms of being able to move a little bit more freely. The highway between Kabul and Kandahar, up north to Mazar, there's a sense of greater security even within the capital. Certainly in eastern Afghanistan and in Jalalabad, where the Islamic State has specifically targeted the Taliban, that sense of security is definitely not there. But elsewhere in the country, it does seem, even after just a month, that there is a greater sense of security. But as well as security, I think the real challenge is the humanitarian need in Afghanistan. I mean, it's just deeply, deeply impoverished. And even after 20 years and billions of dollars, the poverty level in Afghanistan is beyond 55%. And the United Nations is saying that by the end of the year, they feel that 97% of Afghans will be below the poverty level. That means earning less than $1.90 a day.
Help us understand what you see. You're describing this extreme poverty in Kabul and elsewhere. Can you paint a little bit of a picture of what you see?
Sure. You know, you have day workers, for example, literally hundreds of them on street corners and roundabouts in the capital with their gardening tools, with wheelbarrows, with painting material, anything, just sitting there hoping that somebody's going to ask them, stop by and hire them for the day. People have very little to eat. You have people begging. Certainly there was that before as well. You do have food in the markets, but you know, it's very expensive and people cannot afford it in large amounts. There are also a number of camps for displaced people where people literally are living, like 63 families with children who have no access to health care, washrooms, that these outdoor toilets that are way, way overloaded, a small, screened-in area where they can wash, where the women can wash. I mean, it's really quite dramatic how painfully poor some of the people are, and particularly in these makeshift camps, in the parks, in these open areas.
Yeah. And as the Taliban try to help with these daily needs, there are other opposition groups, including the National Resistance Front of Afghanistan. Americans may recall its leader, Ahmad Shah Massoud, was assassinated just before 9/11. Tell us about this group and its footprint now.
Sure. Well, I mean, you're absolutely right. Ahmad Shah Massoud was assassinated just 2 days before. But Ahmad Shah Massoud was among those Mujahideen groups that had ruled Afghanistan between 92 and 96 when there was a bitter, bitter civil war. So there's certainly that legacy as well. I think that group was quite limited to the one province of Afghanistan in the Panjshir Valley, and that the Taliban are pretty much in control of that, or largely in control of that area. They're both sides did seek to have some sort of a meeting, an agreement. But certainly people in that area are frightened. The Taliban has made gestures toward them. But, you know, people are nervous and they're not clear on what will happen. But I think in terms of fighting, that has pretty much ended.
And the last group, Kathy, I want to ask you about is Al-Qaeda and whether it's an important rival to the Taliban now. Last month, the Al-Qaeda leader Ayman Zawahiri issued a new book on governments in the Muslim world. Again, many Americans will recall that name, Zawahiri, a longtime deputy to Osama bin Laden.
Yeah, Al-Qaeda is certainly not a rival to the Taliban, and there is a concern that the Taliban have not broken complete ties with Al-Qaeda, and that is one of the issues that will the world will be watching closely to see what kind of a relationship that the Taliban have with Al-Qaeda, have maintained with Al-Qaeda, or have cut off with Al-Qaeda. So that is an issue and something certainly the world will be looking at.
Okay, that is Kathy Gannon of the Associated Press joining us from Kabul. Kathy, thanks so much for taking the time.
Thank you so much.